far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get to review X-Men Dark Phoenix with our returning guest, Daft.
I just hit record, so oh well.
That works too. I figured it'd be easier for you just to wait for John to show up, but that works too.
Nah, dude, you haven't been on in like a minute.
Know the last time it's been, but it's definitely been a while. Well, because I've been working my nighttime gig for like a year and a half now, and then I probably wasn't on for a while before that. Allegedly. I can't confirm or deny that.
Which is exactly a yes. So that's how you know somebody does something.
Let's see.
Oh man. Yeah, I have no idea how long I'm gonna be up on this because I mean, like, I got work in the morning, but it's like I'm kind of working on something, and I don't really have to. I'm basically waking up and sitting in front of my computer. So I'm working from home.
Oh,
but when I walk out of my apartment building, I'm literally at work because I work at the apartment community I stay at. So
it doesn't that's really not too matter. Bad because you can just kind of like, that's pretty free for him. So you can just like go when like you have to do something, you can just like get up and do whatever.
No, so I got my tax income money back. Apparently I made like roughly $16,000 or $17,000 this past year between two jobs working as a substitute for the school district for the last, like, 5 months or so, and then working out of the apartment community here, which is what I've been doing for, like, 8 years at this point. It's always been a summer gig. but, like, between those two jobs, like, that's what I've made. And, like, I'm making more per hour now because, like, if I do happen to do, like, my job, I've actually got, like, two roles at this job. I'm a marketing guy, and I also do, like, apartment maintenance and, like, flipping apartments and stuff. So
that's fucking cool.
So my flipping apartment stuff and like getting things set up for the next tenant, I'm getting like $11 an hour. But when I do marketing things, like I'm getting $13.
Yeah, that's fucking stacked.
So it's actually one of like the most decent paying job I've had so far. And so I just have to log my hours on. So like I've been getting like my last check was like a little over $700.
Hmm.
And it was amazing that like. I this is the most like stress-free job I had compared to that call center I worked at years ago, and I'm making roughly about the same amount of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good thing about it is since it's free form, you can kind of just be like, all right, I'll go do it now. Like, I assume like that. Sometimes you have to be there for an appointment, but it's not like you're in 9 to 5, so you kind of have flexibility in that.
It's actually more of a like an 8 to 5:30 thing because we don't get paid for a half hour lunch, but like we usually. You know, come home and eat, and it doesn't really matter because my dad's my boss.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of leniency here, so I just kind of wake up and just, like, get ready and head out the door. And
okay.
Like, what was that? Like, last week, my boss, the owner of the place, I've known him for, like, 20 years, we decided to go, like, shopping at a Sam's Club, and I was with him for like 2 or 3 hours debating over what kind of TVs we should buy for like corporate apartments for people that are about to move in from these companies that pay for these apartments, like these 3 bedrooms and stuff. So they house like, we have a Tajin plant coming in, and Tajin plant does carbon fiber. And so we're getting people from Japan and Germany moving in. So it's a matter of getting all these really nice TVs for them and, like, nice furniture and stuff and just setting it up for them so when they move in, like, everything's taken care of.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Oh, so you're just, like, furnishing the apartments ahead of
time? Yes, we're furnishing the apartments ahead of time in terms of, like, getting, like, box springs and mattresses. And, like, what was it? We got, like, a handful of box springs and mattresses from, like, a Big Lots up the road. And we took, like, 3 trips up there. And then while my brother and I were up there, we wound up buying some of the a couple of seasons of, like, South Park. They were, like, $5 a season.
They historically have had pretty good DVD prices. I remember they used to have, like, a bunch of Hanna-Barbera. I think the last time I went, which was, like, a million years ago, they had a bunch of, like, Hanna-Barbera DVDs for, like, wicked cheap. I didn't pick any of them up, though, but I should have.
Like, 10 years ago, there was a period at the Big Lots near me that they had. It was so nasty and, like, white trash, and they've completely, like, organized the place, and it looks so much better now. But, like, they probably have
a lot of competition with, like, because that Big Lots is kind of, like, that tier below Walmart. At least that's how it is.
And now they've really improved since I was in there, like, Tuesday getting mattresses. But they used to have, like, part of the selection of the store was just DVDs. So, like, I got, like, sealed copies of, like, Stella and Upright Citizens Brigade and, like, some Comedy Central show stuff. And it was, like, always the same movies. I think they didn't change their stock for, like, 3 or 4 years. And eventually they took all those DVDs and condensed it down to, like, one shelf in the walkway area. And I'm like, I'm not going to find much anime, but I can't complain with $5 season sets of South Park.
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
No, it's not. Oh, all right, where is that boy? Where's John?
Yeah, no, I thought he said he was doing updates, but I wasn't sure if that was malarkey or not. Maybe he's sleeping.
It could be walking the dog. What was it? We did our last anime podcast we did. We were talking about Ghost in the Shell, and John was, like, out in the middle of Texas walking his dog somewhere. Like, I just hear this gremlin. It's all recorded. So, like, I hear this gremlin. I'm like, dude, what the heck are you walking? He's like, oh, it's my dog. And I'm like, where are you? He's like, I'm out in the middle of nowhere walking my dog. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, I'll call you back. And they just, like, hung up on the Skype call. So I just filled it in with, like, hair metal.
Nice.
No, it's all on the recording for our Ghost in the Shell podcast. And we need to do anime podcasts. I'll be honest, I haven't had any enthusiasm to do podcasting in the past few months.
It happens. I mean, it definitely comes and goes. And, like, especially since you actually do some mild editing. So, right, at least some editing. So, like, that takes effort.
It does. And I think I'm just at the point where I'm just sort of sick and tired of this stuff. Like, I just keep putting it off. And it's just, like, a matter of me just not wanting to deal with it. And
yeah, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I don't know how you view the podcast. I assume John views the podcast as fun. I assume you view it as
that's
a fun.
That's true. I felt like I treat it as a job, and I was like, okay, we have to do, like, you know, here's a quota that I put on myself to get stuff done. And then it's just like, what does it matter? I'll just put it out when I feel like it. And then now it's like I've had other interests come up that I'm more focused on that I want to really pursue. And then podcasting is like I've really put that on the back burner. But we've been getting I've actually gotten some fan mail from people asking questions.
Hey, that's fucking wild, dude.
Okay, do you want to? Let me find the fan mail real quick. What was it? A guy mailed me the other day. I think I got it. Let me see if I got it flagged. And there was something else I got 2 weeks ago. Shoot. Let me see. Let me check my flag.
You mean another email?
Yeah, so. Let me find this. David guy here, hang on. There was another guy I know emailed. He was asking about old Cool Kids Club episodes. So, like, I literally
that's
just
awful.
Yeah, I know. He was like, hey, your link to, like, the Bubblegum Crisis review from Cool Kids Club is, like, it doesn't exist. And I was like, here's a whole zip folder of all the episodes and promos and, like, other stuff. Just have at it. I don't care. I just threw it at him.
Don't shave that around. I don't get so peanut.
Yeah, I mean, it's been on archive.org for a few... I think it's been on there for a few years, I think.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that needs to be removed.
Oh man,
I'm not particularly worried.
Yeah, but I feel like our roots for Cool Kids Club is more important than say Cybernauts. Like I just, anyways, I think it. Oh, so like the guy. So David asked about Cybernauts cast. So let me go ahead and pull up his first email. So this was,
you should enter it. Well, I guess wait for John to get on, and you can answer okay, it like yeah. you are.
Yes,
that's the better plan.
We don't get much of this stuff. If anything, hardly nothing at all. So.
Hey, yeah, it's fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, we're finally getting something after, like, 8 years doing this, or 7 years. I don't even know.
Yeah, I bet it was my flyers that helped.
Those Artist of Yaoi podcast flyers from, what, 5 years ago? It's finally getting around?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe someone was going to... I mean, I have like, business cards I got from cons a million years ago. I flip through those every now and then.
You know, I take all my cards and stuff I get at cons, and I literally just throw them in a box, so they're in the shelves everywhere. Like, I from artists and stuff, I collect them.
Yeah.
And I think it's just an interest of me to, like, if I go look at them in 10, 15 years from now, I'm like, huh, I wonder if they're still doing the same thing. And more than likely, probably not. But, you know, it's nice to know that they had, at some point, a thumbprint in fandom of what they wanted to do.
Yeah, like, I went on a, when I was really into, like, print poster collecting a year or two back, I went through all of them to see, like, what artists I had gotten. And, like, some of them I did, like I have them bookmarked on my Etsy or Store ND accounts or whatever. Yeah. And, like, I probably have bought stuff from some of them.
I mean, like, are most of them still active? Like, what do you think is the percentage
It's definitely a mix. It's definitely a mix.
Yeah. I mean,
some of them I'd pull up and it wouldn't be there, or I'd see, like, what the card was, and I was like, oh, this is just some webcomic, and I forgot to throw it out.
I think some people, like, are just con exclusive on stuff, because you try to, like, they give you a business card, and you try to find them up online, and it's like, they don't even have a thumbprint anywhere.
Like, it's tough, because, like, especially for people, people swap from Etsy's and other online stores because, like, they'll try one that supposedly is better for creators, and then it gets out that they suck or they take a larger percentage of, like, of the expense and stuff like that. So they swap a lot,
mm-hmm.
or they go on a break, or they like you said, like they only sell at the cons. There's this one artist that I have some prints for. He only sells on his website, like, 4 or 5 days out of the year. They have to wait for, like, his poster drop. But his art is amazing. I think he did that really cool... I think I sent you... He did, like, a Gundam one that, like, had, like, a million Gundam characters in a Gundam.
Yeah.
It's that guy.
So, yeah, he was at AWA, but he was also, I think, at South Carolina Comic Con, and I bought a Nacho Libre poster he did. I think that's the same guy.
I bought
a Nacho Libre poster with, like, the mask on it, because my brother loves that. So I got that at SC Comic Con, like, a year or two ago. And
nice.
I'm curious if that's him. It looks like it's the same style, though, that's the thing. So, but I know the Gundam one you're talking about, and he does sell at cons, because I've seen him at AWA. But, like, one example of an artist is, like, I think it's, they're called Swandron, and I've seen them at Animazement, and they got, like, the same Evangelion, like, pixelated print of End of Evangelion, and, like, that's hanging on my wall right now. Like, I think I spent like, $10 or $15 on that. And so that's, like, forever, like, hanging with my other anime posters, because it's just a really neat piece.
There you go.
Oh, also, like, is Vintage Reborn shutting down? Because they don't have anything left on that site.
And what's that?
Vintage Reborn.
I can't say I've heard of that. What did they do?
I think you linked it to us at some point, and I bought, like, some really cool shirts. They've only really got, like, the Chris Bubblegum Crisis poster out.
I'm not terribly familiar with them. It may just be that's, like, the one... My guess is that's just, like, the one creator, and they really do that stuff sporadically. Oh. Or they do, like, contract work, so they can't really sell what they do. Like, it has to, like, either they're doing it as promotional work, or they're contracted with, like, another art gallery for it.
Well, the thing is, like, they've only got the Bubblegum Crisis prints, and they're all sold out. and who knows when they're going to be restocked. Last
they
May,
probably, and realistically, they probably won't, because that's how these art people work. Yeah. Like the alternative poster community works. It's crazy.
I'm glad I got the poster I wanted, but like they had some really awesome shirts last May, and I got one of them, and you can't find that shirt anywhere else. And they had some really awesome Pat Labor posters that eventually I was kind of wanting to get, and now I can't because they're not even on the website anymore, so...
Yeah, it's all a gimmick of keep it limited because that keeps the value up, or, like, they'll do multiple pressings, but, like, slightly tweak the colors or things like that.
Yeah. I like how they have a final sale, exclusive variants plus discounts, proceeds benefiting the Australian RSPCA, but how can I give these people money... when they have nothing I'm going to buy from them because they're sold out. So it's like,
yeah, whatever. I mean, they may have just, like, done, like, a drop, and then, like, if you missed the drop, then that's it.
Yeah. Well, have you heard
I'm not a huge fan of that style, but, like, it's crazy. Like, this one artist I really like, his name's Dan Mumford.
Yeah.
But he has, I have a couple prints of his, but I bought a Yu-Gi-Oh! Print of it off of him. Or they did for a gallery that was at San Diego Comic-Con last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he just put up on his site, I think yesterday, like he put up like a limited reissue of that print. And it's just a run of 8. So if you're not one of the first 8 people to get the print, then it's sold out. So like the one I linked, there's a blue version of it, and that one sold out. And then he has another Yu-Gi-Oh! Print, and that also sold out.
Have you heard of Super Unofficial?
Does not ring a bell.
All right, I'm going to post a link on the Discord chat here. But basically, I bought 3 shirts from them, and there's like 5 others I really want.
Yeah, I like this fuckboy aesthetic. This is pretty good.
Yeah, no, like it got a, what was it? They got Daft Punk shirts, the Crescendo.
Yeah, I saw that Crescendo. I meant to comment, I like that Crescendo shirt.
Yeah, I bought that because that's like the only thing from Daft Punk I really like. And they've got.
I don't think they've ever officially put out any, like, outside of the DVD and like posters, there's like one set of action figures, but they've never done clothing or anything with it.
The action figures are a limited print to 5,555 because it's part of Interstellar. So those suckers are like $600 a pop right now. They were expensive when I first found out about them like 15 years ago.
It's been a while since I've looked up the prices on those figures. Oh, no, I don't remember it being that high, but I am concerned.
I think they're about maybe roughly $200 like in 2004 or something, which sounds about right.
And there's one on eBay for $500 or best offer, so that is at least $400 probably.
I still want those figures, but it's like, I don't know, like it's just a matter of like, man, I don't know if and when I make a ton of money to throw that on those figures. So
yeah, it's pretty. It's definitely one I would consider. But yeah, dumping. I don't think I've spent over $100 on a single fig yet. Actually, no, I spent over $100 on my megas, but that's it.
There's what was it? I traded a bunch of figures into a toy shop. A couple weeks ago, actually, and I got like $155 in store credit for stuff I've held on for years. So, like, I wound up buying a Sean Connery action figure from the 40th anniversary of, like, Dr. No that they had in the store for years. And I was like, I want a James Bond figure. And, like, that comes with, like, you know, Walther PPK, a silencer, like, a little, like, glass to pour, like, in a little bottle of vodka and, like, a mixer and stuff. It's really dope. And then I got that. I got a remember the Adult Swim did those action figures and they did one on Master.
Yeah.
I got a sealed one of that and the Mothman together. It was like $50. I couldn't pass that up.
That's probably a really good deal for that.
Yeah.
I know like those are probably hard to find now, especially sealed.
Yes.
And there's demand for it.
Yeah, it was that. I got, like, a sealed Rurouni Kenshin figure, and then I think I got... I can't remember the other thing that I got. And then, like, in terms of other figures I've bought recently, I finally got my hands on a used Figma, Gogol 13 Figma, which that sucker knew was, like, $160 online, but someone had it for, like, they had a discount on eBay for, like, $60. And the only thing wrong with it was, like, it had, like, one of the pegs broken in the back, but I think you can probably get that out. But it comes with a stand, and so, like, he's standing on it right now on top of my computer next to James Bond.
Nice.
I got, like, a Pat Labor Revel Tech I bought off eBay. I got two Tom Pops that you showed. And then I've been buying those Evangelion Pops.
Yeah. I'm still so salty that they already announced a variant of the Ava 01 that's bloody. It got leaked literally the day after I picked mine up from Hot Topic, and I was so mad. But I guess it just adds to my small corner in my closet of stuff that I need to flip but haven't gotten around to.
Like, I don't want to open up my Ava figures unless I get, like, double copies of them, and then you have one open, one sealed. Because, like, the sealed ones are the ones that are going to be more valuable to sell. And...
Yeah.
So, that was, like, what I learned from my Bebop figures, because I had an open Spike, and I didn't think it was going to be worth anything, and he's, like, the most collectible one. And I was like, crap, if I just left him in the box, he would be like $180. And I got like maybe 80 out of him plus Vicious. And so that went towards like my Spike SH figure arts. I got a Vicious coming in from Japan. So here's the weird thing. So Amazon had pre-orders for the Vicious for like $60. And then for some reason they took down that thing. And like mine was supposed to be sent out or arrived by Wednesday, like last week. And like it was Tuesday, like evening. And there was nothing about it being sent out. I was like, I don't think they have it. And I realized they took their listing down. But there was a guy in Japan that had his... He was selling a bunch of whatever he had for like $38 or something. So I just canceled my order with Amazon and bought it from him. So I'll get it like within the next couple of weeks.
There you go. Yeah, it may have been a case where Amazon got theirs...
Do what?
It may have been a case where Amazon was getting theirs later. Or something.
But it was interesting how, like, they had it on their site, and so I did a pre-order through them. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, like, after the day it was supposed to come out, it wasn't even listed.
It may have not been listed because it sold out or something. Or the pre-order thing may have ended. Because I think I had that happen with my Yu-Gi-Oh! Nendoroid that I ordered through them. Because I think it said, like, I think the date of the release date shifted, then it went like, then I checked the actual listing, it was out of stock, but it said my order was still there. It's weird. I know Amazon does their, since you're pre-ordering from Amazon, I think it just works differently, and just seems weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, I'm here.
Hey! Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
Not
too shabby.
Yeah.
Xeonic, is my keyboard too loud? Or is my keyboard still loud?
I don't know. Give it a test.
All right. Did you find that stuff, the J-Kun stuff and Peter stuff and all that?
I'm one of two of those.
You told us this stuff like last April or something. And you
that motherfucker, Peter. Hold on. It might... I got concerned for a second because it said the content was unavailable, but it was because I was not logged in into DeviantArt. But I think I have the one that I wanted to read from Peter that was several. Oh, how old is this now? Oh, this is from 2017.
You found like a 3-year-old Peter thing, but not the J-Kun thing.
Oh no, I found the J-Kun thing. What I think was the J-Kun thing.
Okay, so are we recording, Xeonic?
Oh, I've been recording for 20 minutes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, Taft and I were catching up.
So you guys were talking about figures?
Do what?
You were talking about toys when I was on here?
Yeah, we're
just shooting the shit about our recent cops.
Oh, okay.
I took the day off from work today, in part to recover from a concert, but in part to kind of rejigger my room around. Because I got a bunch of figures and stuff recently. So I've been slowly... Oh, I finally... After 6 months, I finally hung up my Roger Rabbit print. So I'm like 99.2% moved into my apartment now after being in here for free in a quarter year. Or no, not free in a quarter. Almost 3 years. It's slowly coming back together.
getting some stuff set up. Hold on. So, shoot, it was, we're going to talk about maybe X-Men Dark Phoenix or something?
Yeah, since Daph just saw it today, and you saw it like a week or two ago, right?
Yeah,
I saw it last summer, but, I've been, like, reading some, like, Dark Phoenix-related comics. Like, I read, like, one that was called What If Phoenix Had Lived, where she, like, kills all the X-Men.
Uh-huh. Did that really come out last summer?
It did.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought that came out in the fall. It just, like, that's crazy. It just feels like it happened a million years ago.
It was in theaters not too long after Endgame, so it got, like, really overshadowed and shat on by critics and stuff. Which I felt was unfair, but, I mean, how are you going to live with them in the game, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, with all those films being interconnected, obviously, it is very unfair to be compared to that.
Yeah. I mean, all the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, I didn't read any of the actual reviews. I saw, like, the blurbs that they selected. It was all, like, this is a sad end to a once great franchise. I can't wait till the MCU takes it. And, like, that was all they ever said. They didn't, like, ever have any substantive, like, criticism
of
it.
Yeah, I just know that it was rated poorly. And, I mean, like, as far as I know, no one really gave it a good review. And then, like, me and my brother saw it, I'm like, this movie's great. There's nothing wrong with it. It's any X-Men movie, apparently, this decade. They make an X-Men movie, the critics crap all over it, and then... The viewers are the ones that actually like it. Like, I'm like, oh, that's a good movie. Like, X-Men Apocalypse is a great movie.
Well, not this decade. We're now in the 2020s. But, yeah, I see what you mean.
X-Men
Apocalypse,
excuse me.
That got a lot of negative reviews, too. And I don't know what was so bad about it.
There was nothing wrong with that movie.
I had issues with Apocalypse himself. Like, how he, like, kind of gets introduced into the film kind of is very hokey. But, like, overall, I didn't think it was that bad. And I definitely thought I had very few complaints about Dark Phoenix. I thought it was a lot better than X3. I thought it was, like, for a film that's almost 2 hours.
X3. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's for sure.
X3 has been the low totem pole of what not to do ever to an X-Men franchise or any superhero franchise, really.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, because they've improved not to be X3 since that movie came out.
Yeah, I've pretty much enjoyed all of, like, the prequel X-Men films. Like, I thought Days of Future Past was fantastic.
That's a good movie. First Class was all right to me. It was a good film.
It's not strong, but I thought that's some really neat ideas, and I liked the, like, aesthetic. I forget if it was set in the 50s or 60s.
It was the 60s, yeah, because it was around the Cuban Missile Crisis. I just remember Emma Frost being hot. So.
Yeah, that I do remember that as well.
Has it been 10 years since that movie came out, First Class?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Or 9 or something like
that. Oh, man. That's good. They're just in time to make a reboot for next year.
Yeah. So can you guys explain to me, like, the X-Men timeline autism? Like, Days of Future Past, which movies did it retcon out?
I think it retconned the original. My understanding is it retconned the original trilogy, because otherwise, like...
Yes.
Because this would be... Since this overwrites The Last Stand.
Okay.
Yeah, but can you explain, like, why? Like, what specifically happened in the movie that caused the original trilogy to disappear?
It's the fact that Mystique died. That was the thing. My brother and I were watching this, and I was like, well, crap, that means the original trilogy really never happened, because Mystique lived in the original trilogy, those first three movies. And if you kill her off now in these, it's a totally different thing now. It's like, it's completely makes it official. That was the big main thing I took away from it that, like, confirmed that.
I think, like, the within the movies justification is, since in Days of Future Past they sent Wolverine, since Wolverine went from the future timeline with the original three movies and then went back in time, that altered, since they got rid of the Sentinels and everything, that kind of rewrote or redid how they dealt with, from, like, the 70s onward, that changed that timeline.
What I never understood, though, is that it seemed like they had already diverged before then. Like, the timeline that he went into seemed like it was not the same timeline that would become the first three movies in any event, because like the Angel character in First Class was different than the Angel character in X3, among other things. So
I'm sure it's kind of like a bit of both, so they can kind of be like, oh, we actually retconned it in the film continuity, but we already made all these errors, so just accept this, you nerd loser.
Oh, yeah. Like the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So my, like, headcanon, to use that autistic term, is that, like, the original trilogy still stands, and he just, like, changed an alternate timeline. Because in the X-Men comics, the way Days of Future Past works is that when the time travel stuff happened, the future timeline was still there. It's just that they created a new timeline where that didn't happen, and they, like, branched off. So that there would be two different timelines. So I'm just going to pretend something like that happened so that when I watch the original movies, I can be like, these still happen, even though none of this stuff is going to be valid anymore because now the X-Men are going to be in the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, literally none of these movies matter at this point.
Which is really sad because like those Fox movies, other than X3 and partially some of X-Men Origins Wolverine, will stand the test of time, or some test of time, I guess.
I rewatched those movies not too long ago, and there are positive things about even 3 and Wolverine. Like, there are some good special effects in 3, like Magneto bending the Golden Gate Bridge and stuff like that. And, like, the Juggernaut, there's some good action scenes with him and stuff.
I really liked Origins Wolverine. Like, everyone wanted to crap on that movie, and I'm just kind of, like, secretly, like, I really kind of did like that movie.
Yeah, I don't totally hate that one either. I mean, I think people hate it because there's, like, Deadpool super fans that get, like, upset that he was, like, he was called the Merc with the mouth in the comics, but he literally doesn't even have a mouth in it. So
that was a little weird. I think it's more so, like,
totally different.
Is Origins even really based on a specific story, or is it just kind of like they hodgepodge something?
Well, I thought it was on the comics of Wolverine's past, which they had an origin story for Wolverine, and that was the only one they did, I think. That was my
Because I know the Wolverine is primarily is heavily based off of the Frank Miller Wolverine comics.
The second Wolverine movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one
that
goes to Japan.
That was a good movie.
I did like that movie, yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. Logan was very well done, even though it had little to nothing to do with Old Man Logan. But I still enjoyed it.
I thoroughly enjoyed Logan for sure. I guess with the MCU or the merger now, like they're gonna have to put X-23 as the new Wolverine chick. So
I'm sure they'll do nothing.
They'll
do nothing with her.
That's sad because like we need some sort of Wolverine character and not like a rehash of like oh this replaces Hugh Jackman. No, they set it up for Wolverine girl X-23. So just have her be the new Wolverine, because that's what it was she was in the comics.
Yeah, but people don't know who X-23 is, even though they say Logan. They want to see Wolverine.
Well, you go to these MCU movies, and they have all these characters, and most people didn't read the comics. So, like, you know, like me, I have to ask my nerdy comic book friends, like, what the heck is going on? And I go, oh, okay, that's fine. And
but they can sell a bunch of Wolverine toys. Supposedly, MCU has already reached out to Hugh Jackman to try and get him to reprise his role.
Man, freaking! Hey, it is Disney.
Which I mean, I'd be okay with. I'd be fine with it if they like have him do like a brief scene with Deadpool. That would be really cool. Or if they did something like Secret Wars, or is it Secret Wars where they have like where all the Marvel heroes and villains get teleported to this like alternate universe and have to fight to the death.
Yeah, that was like the Marvel version of like Crisis on Infinite Earths, where it's like a huge crossover event.
Yeah, and I think that would have been really cool. I think that'd be a cool way to kind of like acknowledge like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films and like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and things like that. And kind of just do like a fanfic thing. Do it in like 5 years. They can have Iron Man do a cameo or whatever.
Let's bring back everyone that died that was a superhero in Marvel Universe and have them make their own movie together.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
People are going to watch that.
I mean, Black Widow's coming out next year.
There you go. Well, next year is in like what, 3 months or something?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's 2020.
Close enough.
Give it a decade, Daft.
They're definitely going to do a Secret Wars, but it'll probably be like totally different from the comics and everything. I doubt the Beyonder, which is the villain in the comics, who is this absurd, like, guy in, like, a disco suit that is, like, a man-child that's all-powerful. It's really stupid. But, yeah, they'll change it where it's, like, Doctor Doom or something, like, once they introduce the FF, and he'll be the villain.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my only negative thing about For the Ragnarok was, like, since that has a very similar, the second act has very similar elements to that, with, like, Jeff Goldblum kidnapping Thor and making him fight the Hulk. It's like, it kind of did that concept already, but I think they did it with, like, all the heroes and stuff. I'd be fine with it anyway.
That was, I think that was supposed to be lifted from something else called, like, Planet Hulk. That was a different
crossover. Yeah.
So people will still be okay with them doing another one.
I mean they won't care because they'll see Hugh Jackman and probably Robert Downey Jr. and all the other people and be fine with it.
Yeah.
It'll print money. I'm still waiting. I want to find a sports book that'll let me bet on when they'll make a DC versus Marvel movie, because I know they'll eventually run out of ideas. Or, like, they won't be able to top Endgame, so it'll be like, what can we do to get people to come to theaters? And then they'll finally cave and do a DC versus Marvel thing.
And that'll make them, like, literally $1 trillion in the theater, no joke.
Yeah, and it'll suck, but I'll go see it opening night,
that's for sure. The DC part of it will suck, because DC hasn't made any... Okay, they've actually gotten better since Batman versus Superman, but it's...
Yeah, Shazam was fine. Wonder Woman was fine.
I haven't seen Shazam yet. I need to. I what was it? I got it.
It's not like the greatest thing in the world, but like as its own thing, it's definitely something different from what it's something that the MCU hasn't done. And Zachary Levi does do a good job. I still wish they had cast someone who had was a bit more buff. Like John Cena would have been perfect for it. I'm really disappointed they didn't get Cena for it because he was circling the role. But I do think Zachary Levi did do a very good job. But I think it's also more so about, like, the Marvel versus DC comics in the past haven't been too good from what I've personally read, and also I think the general consensus. And, like, most super, like, ridiculous crossover stuff like that is generally never good anyway.
I guarantee that within 10 years, Disney will have just bought DC and they can just incorporate these characters all into one universe.
You'd think there'd be, like, antitrust over that, but probably not.
I don't think that antitrust is even relevant anymore. I mean, the regulators are so bought off that they'll just allow any merger, it seems like.
God.
I mean, has any Disney merger ever been stopped? Like, they bought Star Wars, they bought Marvel, they buy everything.
Yeah. I think, it'd be more so because, like, I guess there isn't, because Disney doesn't own any ISPs, because it'd be, like, if Universal and Warner Brothers tried to merge, that'd be difficult, because of Comcast versus the satellite stuff, and also some of the streaming issues.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, with Disney, it's like, because everything they do is creative. And I use that term loosely.
That's an air quote, right? You're getting your two fingers and going creative.
Right. because it's like that, it's not clear, like, what the market share is of so-called, like, creative works or whatever, because it's, like, so broadly defined. It's not just the internet or, like, TV stations or something, you know? Yeah, I mean, even with TV, like, they were able to buy up Fox and everything, so.
It's interesting how, like, it's easy for corporations to become a mega corporation and all corporations to merge into one company than it is to try to get a one universal government. Which, it's no surprise because companies are out to make money, so you're out for the best interest on what's going to make you the most money, even though you're sitting on a giant pile of money. Whereas running a nation is a little bit different, I think. So,
well, I mean, it's kind of like people will voluntarily buy up Disney stuff just out of brand loyalty, and you can already see, like, the success of this Disney Plus service and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas I think people are too nationalistic to ever consent to a world government.
I am. That's me. I'm not going to consent to a world government. And for me, right. It's like with these businesses merging, it's just like, whatever.
People are too racist to ever make a world government a thing. And plus, like, there's way, like, for our economy to work, there needs to be a certain percentage of people who probably have their, like, human rights just a teeny bit less than ours. I mean, that's kind of how our economy works, unfortunately.
Yeah. You mean, like, if China were actually, like, up to our labor standards, we would not be able to buy massive amounts of cheap crap at Walmart or whatever?
Oh, exactly.
Or yeah. I'm still waiting for us to get America to be taken over by the Chinese. I don't know what the purpose is to for people to learn Spanish when they're just going to come over here in boats and planes and just bomb the heck out of us.
I mean, I think it's more likely that robots and AI will take over before another nation does.
China is like a soft imperial power. I mean, they've bought up all this like natural resources and stuff in Africa without having to do like British style imperialism where they go in with an army. I mean, they're smarter than us. Like, they have a higher IQ than Americans.
Well, they force the kids into school more than we do.
Yeah. So
we're allowed to watch anime while they...
Well, okay, no, they're allowed to watch anime, but they have to make their own anime and their own video game systems that are not as good as the real thing.
That's debatable.
I'm sure they have ways of watching anime in China.
Yeah.
There's, like, some sort of, like, proxy that they can use on the internet or whatever. I don't even know if anime is banned on the internet. I know, like, Winnie the Pooh is banned.
As you should be.
I mean, I'm good not seeing Winnie the Pooh until sometime in the future I have children and they want to watch all those kids' movies. And it's like, alright, I remember watching this, like, some years back. I'll watch Winnie the Pooh with you, sure. Or I babysit some kid. That's just...
So Jim Cummings is a good voice actor. I'm sure they're well voice acted, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I've seen that Winnie the Pooh movie so much. Eeyore?
What did you say, John?
Peter Cullen is Eeyore. Yeah, they have, like, all
kinds
of voice actors in there that are good.
Yeah.
But
I have not seen that cartoon.
Hey, Daph, do you want me to read out our fan mail real quick?
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah, do viewer mail.
Okay, so we actually got some viewer mail. This is, like, 2 weeks ago, I think. I'm going to call him David S. David S. writes, "Hey, guys, I've been listening to the Cybernauts cast until the download link for Episode 8, Gundam Unicorn, Episode 5 is broken. Can you fix the broken download link? And also, I'm expecting a Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker episode review any day," which we already put that out as of this recording. "Here are my thoughts on The Rise of Skywalker. I like it more than TFA, TLJ, and the prequels. The movie could have added 5 or 10 minutes of new government formation. And lastly, you should do an episode on hockey. Thanks."
Yes, we now have our episode out for you. We sat on it for a few weeks, but it is out now.
That is all on me. If you had to blame anyone for sitting on things, it's me. And also, like, I've been sitting on my con reviews since ever.
And yeah, I've been blaming Zionic for everything for years.
Exactly, yeah. So here's my response.
Not even things he's responsible for. I just blame him for it.
I do all the work on the podcast. Like, yeah, it's all your fault. Yeah. No, I got a person I kick around to, so I know how it is. All right, so I wrote back, "Hey, David, thanks for the email. I'm no longer associated with the Cybernauts cast as of 2013, and that was in the hands of Steve Lundberg, and I don't know what he did or intends to do with it. It's dead as far as I know. To answer your Gundam Unicorn question, it is. I'll give you a link to archive.org for Cybernauts content if it helps you out." Yeah, I gave him a link to that episode, so hopefully he can be able to just do a search on archive.org. So I wrote, "I'm guessing you're getting everything from our podcast site. We do have our own reviews of these Star Wars movies if you check into the review section of our AOIpodcast.com website. And Rise of Skywalker is in the can, will be edited and put out soon. Speaking of, I need to go ahead and put a link on there for Rise of Skywalker, and I haven't done that, and that podcast episode came out Tuesday. Anyways, I just haven't had the time to get to it yet. If you keep up with our site, those will come out in the coming weeks. I also enjoyed episode 9 than the other two, so my co-host and I discussed that. Thanks for the fan mail and enjoy our content. Thank you."
Oh,
are you sure your co-host wasn't the one who wrote this email in?
No, I'm pretty sure I wrote it.
Because it was from David S.
No.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Exactly. I'm protecting this guy's innocence. So he just happens to have the last name abbreviated the same way as our David, the John on the show, but it's a different S last name. So
whatever you say, whatever you say.
I can message you. I can copy and paste everything that I have, so I can prove my innocence on this.
I'll check the receipt later.
I'll give you the receipt. He also responded back on the 2nd of February. Hey, Dustin, for a future episode, you and John should totally review Korean anime movies such as Captain of Cosmos, Defenders of Space, Space Transformers, and the wonderful Wonder of Frontier. These movies are streaming on Tubi TV. He forgot Space Thunder Kids, which is a fantastically terrible film.
Yes, I have those on my watch list on Tubi TV. We've been promising to review them for like 10 years.
Roughly, yes. He talked about checking out other people's podcasts. Did you guys watch the 2008 and last year's Stanley Cup Finals? And lastly, do you guys think that there should be an Angry Birds CSI? I did not respond to this guy's...
I mean, CSI. What argument is there against an Angry Birds CSI?
I don't know. The argument is I didn't respond to this guy. So that's our...
rude. He sent you a nice email.
No,
we're responding
to him now in this podcast episode.
Yeah. Make a pen pal.
Have you guys seen the Angry Birds movies?
No.
I have not. I've heard the first one was okay, and then I was surprised that the second one was released.
I saw the first one on Netflix. It was something.
I'd just be surprised if it was even notable or memorable in any way.
There was this controversy where people weren't sure whether it was politically incorrect or not, because it was about like a bunch of like pigs coming in to this bird kingdom or something, and they pretended to be like friendly, and then they like took over and like ruined it. And so people were like, is this a xenophobic and racist movie about Muslims coming in? Because they had, like, this beard where they looked like they were, like, ISIS leaders or something. or is this a criticism of, evil white colonialists ruining America? And so there was, like, this debate among, like, left-wing movie critics. Like, is this movie, like, a woke? Or is this, like, some sort of, like, Nazi film or something?
I mean, based off the first impression, it might be Israeli propaganda.
Israeli propaganda. I'm sure it was made by. Well, it was probably directed by Jews, but I mean, I don't know, it was
animated in the caves of the that border that I've been arguing about for 50, 60 years. There's an animation studio in one of those mountains.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need peace and quiet from the constant airstrikes to get their crappy CGI movies done.
Yeah, but the impression I got from it was that it was supposed to be about, like, European colonialists or something, because there were some paintings on the wall of, like, the pigs wearing, like, powdered wigs and robes and stuff, where they would look like old, like, colonial judges or something, so that was my impression on that controversy. But it is, like, a mildly amusing film for a kid's film, I guess. Daft, before we get to Dark Phoenix, what did you think of the Star Wars 9, since this viewer was asking about it?
I was trying to recollect my thoughts when the viewer mail came in. I think considering the scenario where, like, J.J. Abrams had to come in and resolve a film that he had little to no interaction with, and also deal with Carrie Fisher unexpectedly passing away ahead of time, I think they did a pretty solid job with those variables.
Yeah.
Without ignoring the fact that ignoring those two variables, it is a clusterfuck. It is just there's so much going on, you don't have time to think, and it is a lot going on. There's only a few things, like scenes in particular, where I went out of my way to flip off the movie screen as I was watching it.
Yeah, I had a couple of those too.
Yeah, and I audibly groaned during the scene at the end with Ben and Rey kissing.
I honestly thought it was going to go somewhere. I was like, oh, finally, somebody's kissing each other. Finally, something's happening, and he just disappears. And I'm like, what the fuck? I looked over at my cousin. I'm just like, God, this was such BS, man. F that. F this movie.
Yeah, that was a little much. The worst part, I think, was when they went to, they're trying to locate the MacGuffin at the remnants of the Death Star. And, like, Rey pulls out that, like, weird compass wand thingy. And, like, somehow that she's able to use that to determine where the fuck this thing is in the Death Star. Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
It was basically hold up this piece that's going to detect this fallen apart part of the Death Star, and that's the pathway you should walk to find the MacGuffin. I will give it that, like,
about the science of Star Wars, though, really.
Even for Star Wars, that's a bit, that took me out of the movie too much really befuddled.
That wasn't even an issue of mine in this. It was just like some smaller things, but like in terms of like J.J. Abrams taking the idea of Star Wars that he began with and gave it to J.J. Abrams, and J.J. Abrams wiped his ass with it and gave it back to him, was just like, yeah, you handle my crap on it. He actually handled it very well in this film, and like I had no serious issues with it. There's some things that I didn't like, but I mean, like, it was far from like the issues that I had with Last Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, like Daph said, he was in a difficult situation because Carrie Fisher died and Luke and Han had been killed off.
Yeah, when they killed her off in this movie, I was like, oh, okay, they finally killed her off. Okay, good, we can move on.
It was very, like, they had hinted at before, like, this movie was in development, like, the first movie is Han's movie, the second one is Luke's, and then the third one's Leia's, and then Leia's fucking dead. They really got fucked with that.
But, I mean, like, they killed off Luke in Luke's movie, they killed off Han in Han's movie, they killed off Leia in Leia's movie, it is what it is.
Allegedly they were going to kind of do a bit more with, like, Leia actually having Jedi power. Since they hinted at it in episode 7, made it more blatant in episode 8 with like the space Jesus shit.
See, I don't even remember her having force things in episode 7 because I don't remember much of that movie. And episode 8 was just like, this doesn't explain anything. And episode 9 was like, oh yeah, they were training for a while, and Luke was like, hey, there's some bad force stuff. And then Leia gave up on using the force, but she still like learned it. And I was like, okay, they threw that in there to give an explanation to tie that into episode 8, which I felt was satisfying.
Yeah. And it also explains why Ben Solo had force ability and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Leia being, like, Luke's sister, in the original trilogy, there's really no point to it. Like, they never have her actually develop any force powers in that, even though Yoda says that there is another and all that. And like she's always treated as a romantic interest. If you read like the old like Marvel Star Wars comics, or if you watch the first movie and everything, like,
yeah, but the comics don't matter anymore. That all got retconned.
Yeah, I know. But the point is, like, everybody thought of her as like a romantic interest until they revealed she was the sister, and then there was really no point to her being revealed as the sister other than like, well, she can't be with Luke, so now she's with Han. I guess was the reason why they revealed that. Just because, like, oh well. We don't want Luke to get the girl because she has better chemistry with Han, so we'll just come up with this like BS excuse and never have her get Jedi powers in these movies.
Well, but they could have kind of addressed that.
The new ones.
Yeah, and it would have been interesting to see what they actually would have done. I'm sure if Carrie Fisher had been alive, I'm sure it would have been very underwhelming. Whatever would have happened, I'm sure if she was alive. And the reception to Last Jedi was not as bad. I'm sure episode 9 still would have been atrocious. Not necessarily atrocious, but still, like, not totally satisfying and underwhelming. I mean, Star Wars fans are going to be disappointed no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, people have such high expectations on these films. And that's the case for any franchise that goes away for a long period of time and then comes back. You get people who saw these films as children, and then now they see them like a sequel as an adult, and they're still fundamentally childish films. So they're judging it with like an adult sensibility. And,
you're ruining my 40-year-old headcanon.
Yeah.
Starships aren't supposed to have gas.
Yeah.
I wonder if Vika's still bitter about that to this day. He probably is.
That implies anyone still really cares about Star Wars at this point.
Oh, there are people who care about Star Wars.
Yeah, but I don't care about them.
that's a good philosophy to have. I didn't really look into like the nerd rage about this movie. I mean, what were the most controversial parts of it?
I don't know.
I think they didn't like Rey being related to the team, which I thought that was a little lame too. Like, I didn't really like Last Jedi as a film, but I thought it had some really interesting concepts, even if those concepts essentially were just subverting your expectations. I still thought it was interesting, even if the film itself was not great. And people, they kind of just poo-pooed most of that with this movie. Like, I also didn't really like the parts with Luke essentially 180-ing from his 180 he did in Last Jedi.
Well, he had to die to be a good person. That's usually how it works. So someone gave me this like tidbit of like fan theory thing that Emperor Palpatine has like been behind everything in terms of like how Anakin got created. Because Anakin, we don't know who his father was, and then is the fact that like Anakin probably was birthed by Senator Palpatine at some point. I don't know. Maybe he knocked up his mom like at the bar in Mos Eisley or whatever, like at the Applebee's or something.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
she was doing the horizontal mambo with the Alabama Dark Side Snake.
I honestly, yeah, that would make sense because that would explain how Anakin had powers, and then Anakin birthed Luke. So they all kind of come from the same genealogy, and it's the same thing with Rey in terms of like how she was like. She's like the grandchild of Senator Palpatine, and I think if you look at Star Wars lore, like in terms of like the Sith Empire coming up, it was probably the same thing as like Genghis Khan, where they like rape and pillage people, you know, like the same thing where the Muslims, they go to these Western countries and start raping the women to spare their seed, to like basically. So it's like sort of that same thing.
I had assumed it was like some sort of like divine birth, like his mother was impregnated by like the midichlorian force or some crap.
That is more bullcrappable than saying that Palpatine's Anakin's daddy.
Well, I mean, he's like the chosen one and like everything in the first, in like the Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. He's like the baby Jesus or something, you know. I thought that was what Lucas was going for, but this makes more sense in the series, I guess.
That's one of my nerd buddies kind of mentioned to me.
My takeaway from that explanation is that presumably all the Jedi are related to some extent, and that it's all like just some weird like incest British royal family timeline of interspecies erotica.
It could be, yeah.
That's possible.
And because the Jedi aren't supposed to reproduce, right?
They're not supposed to have, like, fall in love, and they're supposed to stay celibate.
And right. So maybe it's just like they're all birthed from a line of just like deplorable Jedi or something. I don't know.
So the Jedi are like secretly like fucking, and they're just like denying it to the other Jedi or something.
So it's the Roman.
It's like the priest's supposed to be celibate, but they're fucking small children.
So it's the Roman Catholic Church.
But you can't reproduce with small children. But these guys are reproducing somehow to keep the Jedi line going.
Well, look,
space rules,
John. If they bleed, then they're old enough to breed. So.
I mean, it is true that Anakin is, like, secretly with Padme on the side and everything, so the others are probably have concubines as well.
Yeah, that's true. We probably just missed the room where Senator Epstein was with the young Jedi.
Well, I mean, Epstein just stayed with the females. I don't know if he got into any of the... I don't know, man.
Epstein is a heterosexual. That's the one positive thing you can say about him.
Jesus. Is that a ghost quote, or is that a hot take?
That's an original insight.
There we go. That's what you come to anime of yesteryear for. Positives of Jeffrey Epstein.
Jeez.
And pro-heterosexual takes. Oh, boy.
Man.
Actually, that reminded me, since we were supposed to be talking about X-Men Dark Phoenix, have either of you seen Interspecies Reviewers yet?
No.
Which, are either of you familiar with that show?
Well, I saw that stuff that was posted on the chat about it, but I did not watch the show, and I'm not going to watch
it. I just know the fact that Funimation was like, oh, this show is too below our standards, air quotes. We can't dub this anymore, and we'll drop it. And it's just like, and when I read that, I was like, hey, you guys have standards? Really?
So the premise of the show is, it's
like three?
They got through three episodes before dropping it.
I can't believe they subbed an episode that was all, like, censored. Like, episode three was supposedly, like, you couldn't even see anything, right?
Apparently, I didn't see the censored versions, but apparently there was, like, a multiple-minute sequence where it was just completely black. And I don't know if they censored the audio or as well, or if they just kept the audio and didn't show what was going on the screen.
Yeah.
But there is definitely some heavy editing going on there. So the premise of the show is it's about these group of these writers who they're in like a fantasy world, and they're basically their job is to have intercourse with different species and review it. And that is the entire premise of the fucking show. So normally when a manga or light novel gets adapted for anime, or for anime, particularly at least contemporary anime, normally the anime is more tame compared to the manga. Which,
or light novel.
But in this case, apparently the anime was much more vulgar than the manga.
The anime is more highly adaptive to the story of the original content than it trying to censor itself or readapt itself. So it stuck to the premise of the story and the content.
They actually managed to make the manga based off that premise. It's more obscene than the manga.
So they did their job right, is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah. So like for a show, so presumably Funimation picked it up with the expectation of, oh, this is going to be a very, very on the line, but it's a very etchy show, and based off a premise, we'll get a bunch of filthy perverts and virgins and degenerates to buy it, but it's not porn, so this is fine. And then they get to the third episode where they never actually show penetration, and they don't show, like, I don't believe they show any female parts, or actually, we don't show dicks either.
Do they show any fluids at least?
Does fucking a slime girl count as... Does the slime and the slime girl count as fluids?
I think we can constitute that as a yes.
Yeah, but that happens. That was probably the most, like, I guess, traditionally graphic thing to happen in
so
the
like,
show.
When they show fluids, it's like, oh, here's running ice cream to, like, the analogy for semen or whatever, or like... You know, here's a giant zucchini to represent a penis or something. So that's as far
there
as...
definitely was an eggplant reference at some point. Like they're very clever with like it's honestly it is very clever with how they like show without actually showing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they kind of like during like the third episode, like what I presume was the part that was censored. Like the slime girl is fucking one of the characters, and like. You see them, like, react to the penetration, but the penetration, you don't actually see the penetration happening. But obviously that's probably a bit too far for Funimation, since, to my understanding, Funimation does not license hentai.
So, who was voice acting this show? Was it Monica Rial, or...
She apparently did actually voice a prostitute in one of the episodes.
Wow, go freaking
from what I heard.
Why does that not surprise me? She's so morally above.
One of the tinfoil hat theories regarding why the show got dropped is apparently basically none of the voice actors involved with the show were like very vocal to being like, I'm on this show. Which, I mean, like, you can... Based on the content, and the wordplay is fucking excellent. At least based off the fan... I saw a fan sub, I presume, so I don't know if it's the official... like, how much they took from the original script, but, like, but presumably you don't want to necessarily be tied to something like this, particularly based off of, at first glance, like, the concept is very vulgar, and then at second glance, if you actually watch it, like, there is some stuff that's really on the line, or, like, since it is borderline hentai. So,
I thought the rule of thumb is if you can't make it in the industry if you haven't done porn yet.
You think? I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of, like, Western voice actors that had to do something of that sort.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that may have been, like, in the days where the anime industry was more centered in New York in, like, the 1990s. Because, you know, I have guys like Dan Green, the voice of Yugi, who was in all these hentai shows before then. So you can hear him say, like, it's time to call.
That's delightful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta get the... If it's... You gotta get your money out, you're gonna get it.
Even Vic Mignogna did, like, that...
werewolf audiobook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hentai audiobook.
I think it was more of a yaoi thing, so...
Yeah, and he supposedly was, like, against gay marriage when he was recording it or whatever, but he was like, okay, I'll record this, like, gay porn, whatever.
I just remember, like, Jess Otaku is the one that, like, hey, Vicky was in a gay novel audio thing or whatever. It's just like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I faintly remember that. That's, I wonder if you can still access that, because that's, like, a zillion years ago at this point.
I think it was only on Amazon, and I have no idea if it's still on there or not. It was digital content.
Like, removed it because of, like, anti-Vic people probably sent Amazon messages like, do you know you're holding stuff on here from a sexual predator? You have to remove this now.
I mean, Funimation needs to remove Full Metal Alchemist from its service. They can't be giving him any residual money.
But Black Dynamite, that's a cash cow show. They can't do that. They're going to lose money.
I'm surprised that Aniplex even let them relicense. I look at Sony Aniplex just pulled all of their shows from Funimation, sat on the like a year and a half, and were like, all right, we'll give them back.
I mean, what else are they going to do with it?
I mean, they could have started up a competitor or tried to license them out to like Netflix or something, but maybe they just either weren't getting the money they wanted or they weren't able to get a green light to start their own streaming service or put it on Crackle, so they're just like, okay, we'll just give it back to Funimation since they were doing good things with our IP while we're just sitting on our hands doing jack shit.
Wait, I think, does Netflix still have streaming rights to Full Metal? Because I know my brother was watching on that recently.
I know Funimation got home, I think they have at least home video rights back for Full Metal Alchemist.
Right.
Yeah, I watched it on there last year, the original series, and I'm pretty sure Brotherhood is on there too, and also the live action movie is on there.
Okay.
Yeah. I know they definitely have the live action. I know Netflix definitely has the live action movie.
I'm going to have to get around to watching Full Metal at some point in my life.
Have you never seen it?
I've seen some episodes. That's about it. Okay. I am a terrible... I mean, anime reviewer. I have not seen Full Metal Alchemist entirely.
I know a couple people who haven't seen either version.
I just haven't gotten around to it. I have other things I want to watch. That's the thing. It's not even like on my major thing. I think it's slowly getting up there, so...
Well, look, it's a 52-65 episode commitment for either series, so it is a lot.
So wait,
it's definitely worth it.
It's 52 for Full Metal and also for Brotherhood, right?
I think it's a little bit more for Brotherhood.
Okay. My brother has Brotherhood, and that's the one I heard it was, like, more refined.
Brotherhood's the one to watch, from what I've been told.
Okay.
It's the one that's more closely adapts to the manga.
Okay.
Yeah, the anime-only ending's supposed to be shit.
I do like the original, but I'm sure it's because I saw it when I was 12 years old. But, I mean, that makes it more nostalgic for me to watch it. But I do think it still stood up when I watched it last year. I mean, even the episodes that are anime original are pretty good. But I know people hate it. But that's always the case when they do anime original episodes. People are like, you deviated from the manga.
It's going to be hit and miss, especially if you're trying to do an anime-only.
I remember when Vic was on ANN Cast years ago, and like they were talking about how they like him and the host of that Zach Birchie or whatever were kind of agreeing that they liked the original Fullmetal Alchemist over than Brotherhood because they kind of compared to like OG Star Trek. They're like, yeah, you know, Star Trek's gotten really good, but I still prefer the original one.
Oh, you mean like the nerds who are always like TNG has superior production values or something? You know,
for
Star Trek.
I don't know.
There's always these Star Trek nerds that are always like, the original, the fight scenes are poorly choreographed compared to TNG or what, you know.
I just know my brother's getting into, like, the original series. And there's some of the episodes they've done for the original series I like, because that's some of the ones I wanted to check out. I don't know when I'm ever going to get to watching TNG. And, like, I'm actually curious on Picard, but I think you got to know TNG in order to, like, enjoy Picard.
Probably. So I watched the first episode of Picard with, like, I've seen, like, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films and have a very vague understanding of some Star Trek lore, and that was it. And then I immediately watched Red Letter Media's review of Picard and of the first episode, and they hit it right, the nail right on the head in terms of the Picard was written by people who just have a faint understanding of Star Trek. And then made it for people with a faint understanding of Star Trek.
So it is so, like, a show.
What they
for
did
me.
Was, yeah. So they kind of, like, they asked, like, their co-host who hasn't really seen Star Trek, but, like, has known these two Trekkies for years, and be like, "What do you know about Next Generation?" And just, like, there's Mary Patrick Stewart's in it. He drinks Earl Grey tea, and, like, there's three different scenes in the first episode where Picard drinks Earl Grey tea.
Well, I know about the Riker maneuver, so that's the other thing. I mean, I've seen most of those movies, the original movies, so.
Yeah, I thought it was all right, but as, like, just overall from watching it, not from, like, a Trek perspective or anything like that. The production value seemed there, and Patrick Stewart's a good actor, obviously. I don't know if I'd fully recommend it. I dropped it, but it might be up your alley.
Is it supposed to be like a prequel to TNG or a sequel? Or
no, it's a sequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Maybe at some point I'll watch it, but I mean, I would prioritize watching the original series first. I did watch the pilot of that the other day, like the original pilot of the 60s series, and they had a different captain in it from. It was not Shatner, it was someone else. They're calling him like Captain Pike.
Yeah. So I had one of my buddies that I've known from AWA was explaining me and my brother they did two pilots for the original series, and they incorporated one to one of the other episodes later, but maybe the one that you saw, the original one, was the one that they pitched and it didn't sell good. So then Roddenberry came back with the second one, and that one was actually like a later episode instead of being the first episode.
Yeah. So what happened was, on Netflix, they have, like, a restored version of the original pilot, which eventually came out on home video.
Mm-hmm.
And that's listed on there before the rest of the series. So if you just click, like, watch Star Trek, that's what's going to come out first. Okay. But then if you scroll down later through, like, season one, somewhere down there, like, episode 16 and 17, they, like, made a... they kind of, like, spliced the footage into like, a later episode where they, like, explain what happened to the previous captain, and they have, like, some sort of trial or something where they're, like, viewing the footage or something like that.
That might have been the episode right there.
Yeah, and so that was how they reused the footage to save on budget or whatever. Later on in the season. So that way they got two, like, free episodes.
Yeah, because that original pilot was from one network and they didn't want it, and then... shoot. Because it wasn't originally on CBS, and it eventually moved to CBS, I think.
Okay. It was interesting, but I don't know if I'm really in a hurry to watch the rest of it or anything. It's kind of like, you know, if you watch, like, old Doctor Who or Time Tunnel or other old sci-fi shows from that era, like, they're very dated, but they have their own charm.
I don't know. I've been getting into Farscape. Like, I just started season 3, so that's what I've been watching on Amazon Prime. Yeah. That and Dilbert. Was it a...
Are we going to talk about X-Men at some point?
I thought we already... Are we done with X-Men? Or we still got more to talk about it?
I think I think we talked about, like... about it for, like, 90 seconds and then talked about the earlier films. I don't know if we actually talked about the film itself.
I don't think we mentioned Dark Phoenix.
I didn't even know if we wanted to talk about the Dark Phoenix film. Like, I thought we were just going to name our favorite parts and that was it and call it a night.
Well, I mean, I just don't think there's that much to say about it. Like, it's definitely better than the 23% indicates on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I think the Fantastic Four from 2015, I think that's probably a very similar Rotten Tomatoes score, and those films are very night and day. Oh, actually, wait, excuse me. That's a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I guess that is... So I guess it is considered a step up. Which it's... But I think it's several steps up. I thought it was a very... Like, it did it blow me away? No. Did I feel like I missed out on seeing it in theaters? No. But I think for, like, a 100-minute film, I thought it... I thought all the scenes, like, made sense. I didn't feel like many of the scenes ran too long. I thought the set pieces were good. I thought the characters involved were good. Sophie Turner was fantastic as Jean Grey. And I think the ending, it works as, like, as a conclusion to the, like, the chap the closing the book on the Fox X-Men films. I think it's a quiet ending, but I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very, it's like something like if that came on the airplane or like I was flipping channels and it showed up on FX or USA, like it's worth sitting down to watch, or if you like the characters. But like, if you don't really care about X-Men or whatever, you're not missing out on anything.
Yeah, I would say definitely watch all the other ones first so that you can really get invested in the characters. Because, you know, a lot of dramatic stuff happens, some people die and everything, so you're going to want to know who these people are so that it kind of matters more to you. But, yeah, I mean, it starts off with the space scene. I know you were praising that when you were watching it in the chat earlier.
Yeah, no, like, that was very well done, like, especially, again, compared to the Fantastic Four from 2015. Much better done. Like, it was much more interesting.
Wait, both movies are made by the same studio, right?
Correct.
Four that they went to and together the powers. Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot better than that. But that's like damning with faint praise, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but again, like, I have very low expectations for a film that has a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. But
that's
Rotten Tomatoes. I think I enjoyed this film more than Apocalypse. Like, Apocalypse, I had very clear problems with the antagonist, but of this film, I didn't really have an issue with how, like, I mean, like, the aliens who gave Jean Grey her powers, yeah, they're forgettable, but, like, the story isn't really about them. It's about, like, it's about Jean Grey trying to overtake, like, balance the, like, growing up and being lied to and all the other shit going on.
I thought that the scenes with Jean Grey's parents were great, where she goes to see her father. Like, that's a very dramatic scene in the theater, especially, where it's sort of like, you know, she has, like, this power welling up inside of her, and she has this resentment towards him because he, like, blames her for having these powers that she can't control, and it's not really her fault that they had that car crash and the rest of her family was killed and everything. Mm-hmm. So...
That was really powerful, and definitely not an allegory for, like, people coming out to their family members who don't care, or like, don't support that, or things like that.
I hadn't even thought that was what they were going for there, but probably was.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, anyway, there was the death of, wasn't it Mystique that was killed in this?
Before even reading anything about this movie, like, knowing she was in it, I knew that they had to have killed her off, because she's way too big to be appearing in these... her stock's waned over the past couple of years, but she's clearly, like, too big of an actress to be playing, like, lower down the card, like, playing not a major X-Men character. And there isn't really a ton... They kind of did everything with Mystique that they could.
Well, didn't you guys just say that Mystique was killed off in Days of Future Past also?
Yeah, that was a plot point, but they retconned that.
Yeah,
exactly. When Wolverine went back.
Okay. I thought that was what caused the plot, the retconning to happen or something, that she was killed and that changed the future or something, but...
No,
I think that was an aspect of it.
I remember at the end of Days of Future Past, she was... basically acting like she was Stryker. I remember that, because they had, like, his eyes change or something, and I was like, oh, Mystique didn't die, it was just she was Stryker maybe the whole time, I don't know.
Okay. Was that, like, future Mystique, though, or something, that was Stryker, or was it the one that's...
No, it was definitely like Jennifer Lawrence Mystique.
Okay. Yeah, that was good because it gave the other activation to be like, even though Jean is our friend, like we know she's gone over the dark side now and this sort of thing. You kind of need something like that to happen for them to be willing to turn on her. And then I thought that the scenes with Magneto and Cyclops fighting against Jean were, you know, pretty dramatic. I remember Cyclops said something shocking. He said fuck or something like that, and it's kind of like, this is an X-Men movie.
I thought the train fight was really good, like when Magneto summoned like 300 guns on the alien chick.
Yeah, that was really well done.
My brother and I were like, oh, shoot, you!
I like how they only very briefly had the, Professor X and Magneto are going to disagree. Like, they had, like, maybe one scene where they disagreed, and like, other than that, they were on the same page the entire time.
Yeah.
Which was very nice, since that happens.
Well, I like
that. Every other X-Men film is just Professor X and Magneto kissing and making up, then being angry at each other by the end.
Well, what was it? The film ended with Professor X and Paris or something, and then Magneto shows up to play chess with him.
Yeah, like, I thought that was effective ending.
Yeah, I enjoyed that ending.
Well, with Magneto, there was the other great scene I was thinking of was when all the metal gets bent around him and everything, and he's like getting his head crushed by his helmet and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. That seemed pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, oh, that scene was so intense. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a great time watching this on the big screen, and it felt to me a lot more like the end of an era than Endgame, because, you know, even though Endgame is called Endgame, and even though some characters died in it, you know there are going to be more MCU movies that follow up on these plot threads, because, like, a couple months later you have Spider-Man, where you've got half the Iron Man cast returning in that, and they're talking about how he's dead all the time. And
I think, didn't Robert Downey Jr. cameo in that too, in like a flashback scene?
Yes,
yeah, like, what the fuck?
Even though they're like, this is the last time you're gonna see Iron Man, and then like 2 months later he's like, he's in it, and they're like, a new scene in Spider-Man. It's like, okay, I don't believe any of this shit that you people are selling.
Yeah, and then like with Doctor Strange 2, I'm sure they'll do some weird time travel elements or things like that, so they'll have an excuse to like show Iron Man, or maybe an alternate reality Iron Man, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if the budget on a movie like Doctor Strange is enough to include Robert Downey Jr.
I'm still waiting for like my total cable movie to come out. I mean, Deadpool 2 was like the closest we got into a cable movie, but I'm still waiting on like a legitimate one. And that may or may not ever happen, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they probably spent most of the budget on Doctor Strange 2 getting Sam Raimi as director.
I think that's a fine choice. Like, Raimi has experience doing superhero films. He's known for doing stylistic films. And he has a track record also with Oz for, like, adapting something that's already been done.
Yeah.
And, like, working in, like, trying to launch a franchise sort of deal.
They have been saying that this is supposed to be like the MCU's first horror film, and Raimi really got his start doing horror films like The Evil Dead, so this is a good choice for him. And he'll dug up some clip from Spider-Man 2 where Peter Parker says, Doctor Strange, and then J. Jonah Jameson says, it's already been taken. So they're like, oh look, it's all coming full circle, he's going back to Doctor Strange, which he acknowledged in one of his early movies. And I did just watch Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man, like a week ago, and I thought that it held up pretty well. I mean, the old Spider-Man and X-Men movies, those things really jump-started this whole genre, so this movie was.
And X-Men did too. I think the first X-Men came up before Spider-Man.
It kind of
doesn't get, like, the same, like, credit. Like, everyone just credits Spider-Man, but X-Men was the first.
Nobody really talks about the first X-Men movie much, and then, like, everyone likes to talk about the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, and really, like, Sam Raimi did 2 out of 3 good Spider-Man movies. Like, Spider-Man 2 is, like, the one that's most memorable, I think.
Yeah, what they did really well with the X-Men and Spider-Man movies was that they actually managed to make sequels that were more acclaimed than the first movie, and they kind of blew it on number 3 on both, But, you know, they did manage to, like, make people think, like, okay, so these superhero movies are not just one-hit wonders. And that's actually kind of the case with even Superman and Batman. Like, a lot of people prefer Batman Returns to the first Batman and Superman 2 to Superman 1. Because Superman 2 has Zod, Batman 2 has Penguin, mm-hmm. Catwoman, and all this dark tone and everything. Somehow the superhero movies, a lot of times, like, the sequel is better than the first. And I hope that's the case with Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it's definitely out of, like, the new MCU, like, films. Like, that's the one that definitely interests me the most. Like, I have zero interest in the Eternals. I don't know who they are. I know Kumail Nanjiani's in it, and I know Jon Snow from Game of Thrones is in it, but, like, I don't know who these characters are. I don't care. There's too many characters in the MCU right now.
Yeah, I don't know. They really are kind of. I feel like this genre has peaked. Like, after this movie, I feel like it's going to be all downhill.
I mean, Endgame, I think, was the end of Marvel, of, like, the end of the superhero cinematic peak. Which my concern is that's going to be replaced with all the studios trying to make video game and anime adaptations.
Yeah, I don't know if I really want, like, a million, like, Sonic the Hedgehog movies to come out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm rooting for, it's rumored that the next Star Wars trilogy is going to the director of Ragnarok, whose name I am not even going to attempt to pronounce, because I can't. But he's also in line to direct the live-action film. But that keeps getting pushed off, because he's like, oh, I'm going to do the next four Love and War, whatever the Love and Thunder, whatever the new four movie's called.
Oh, yeah.
But so if he gets Star Wars, then he can't ruin Akira.
Shoot. I just realized the Sonic the Hedgehog movie comes out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Take your date to see Jim Carrey.
I'm taking myself to watch that movie.
I think I was going to see Birds of Prey that comes out today.
Oh, Jesus, I forgot.
I don't really care, and I don't really care about New Mutants either.
The trailers for Birds of Prey were abysmal. I'm surprised New Mutants even coming out. I thought that was just going to get deleted by Disney. Because that movie was supposed to come out, like, I think 2 years ago. And then they did reshoots, and then they undid reshoots. I just assumed that movie was never going to happen.
Wow. That is, I guess after a certain point they've sunk enough cost into it that they're like, we've got to do this, we've already made a movie. Somebody will see it. I mean, X-Men Dark Phoenix really did not do well at the box office, even though the fan rating on Rotten Tomatoes is three times higher for, you know, normal audiences. It's like 63% versus like 21% for the
fans. Yeah, that thing lost a lot of money.
But yeah, it really bombed badly. It did less money than the Secret Life of Pets 2 that came out the same weekend.
That movie is not that good.
Then it dropped hugely from there. And then by the week 3, it had been dropped by like hundreds of theaters. I saw it pretty early on, and there were not that many people there. And I guess that's a shame, considering it's not that bad. But it had all this negative hype around it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why they particularly, like, I don't remember Apocalypse getting terribly attacked for not being an MCU film.
Yeah, well, people had been so wrapped up in the whole, like, you had Infinity War and Endgame within the span of 1 year. Like, that really got people, like, extremely obsessive about this.
Yeah.
Like, I cried at the end of Infinity War, I can't believe they're all dead. It's like, are you serious? Like, you know they're all going to be back next year, right?
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
But people got so worked up about all that stuff, and they got real invested in the MCU, and then you see a movie that's just like a normal movie, and at some level it's like better, because it's, I mean, not that this is actually better than Endgame, but like, it's unique in its own way, and that it can actually tell like its own story without having to incorporate dozens of different character arcs and like endless like massive CGI wars of thousands of aliens and all that kind of stuff that they were forced to incorporate into like an Avengers movie that can kind of cause it to be just a little bit too much.
I think that's maybe, that might be why I actually really like Dark Phoenix as much as I did. Because there's really only, like, the train team was really the only one. A bunch of nameless goons who have to be disposed of. Because there wasn't really much CGI fuckfest otherwise. Like, obviously the effects were fuckfest. But, like, there wasn't that, like, sprawling, like, lasers going everywhere and shit. Like, it was actual, like, choreographed fight scenes. And yeah. All the settings were different.
Yeah, and what was so good about it, I thought, was that there was a very, like, personal feeling to the film and, like, a dark tone to it where it was not some stupid, like, jokey thing where, like, Spider-Man is, like, jumping around with the gauntlet like it's a football and, like, flying through a million, like, aliens or whatever. I mean, that's a fun scene, but, like, after you've seen that kind of crap, like, 30 times or whatever... in, like, MCU film after MCU film, it's kind of nice to have a film that's kind of like the early 2000s superhero movies, where it's, like, an actual story about just characters, and they're, you know who is fighting who, and why they're doing it, and everything.
Yeah. Like, that's a big weakness.
When I saw Endgame, my dad, every 5 seconds, was like, who is this character? What's going on here?
Yeah, my folks are the same. I just stop answering half the time. They're just like, fuck you, I don't care. But I think that is a major flaw of the MCU films, is like, most of the villains, like, either I don't remember their name, or they don't show back up, or, like, you just don't give a shit about them. And, like, yes. With Dark Phoenix, your main villain is Jean Grey, who is a character you care about, both from, like, continuity and reading other... consuming other X-Men content, and also because the actress is very good as well.
Yes, and to have one of the heroes go bad and ultimately die is a very dramatic and controversial thing. Like, when Marvel did this story in the 70s, something like this had not been done. I mean, they'd never killed off one of their heroes like this at that time. With the exception of maybe Bucky, who was killed off in, like, a retcon. I was, like, Captain America's sidekick. But, they had not done some big storyline where, like, this character had been appearing in X-Men comics for, 15 or 20 years at that point, like, gradually becomes evil, and then she destroys this star and wipes out, like, this whole planet, and 5 billion people died. So I was reading, like, this... they published a story in the 80s which showed, like, the original plan for the story, where it was going to end with her powers are stripped away from her, and she just becomes a normal human. And so Marvel actually, the editor-in-chief intervened and was like, you can't just let her get away with this. Like, what she's done is too extreme. And he said it would be like if after World War II, they just said, well, Hitler, we're going to take your military away from you, but we're going to give you an apartment in New York, and you can just go about your life, and you're not going to have any consequences for it. So he was like, no, we're going to have to do something more extreme here. We're going to kill this character off. You have to redo all these pages, rewrite them. So that was, like, a really bold thing for them to do. But Jim Shooter, made them do it. And it became, like, one of the most famous comic book stories from that whole decade, and they got all this mail of people who were all emotional about it, because they, they grew up, like, having a crush on Jean Grey or whatever, because all the other X-Men wanted to fuck her, and so she was portrayed as, like, this sex object and everything. Wolverine wanted her, Cyclops wanted her, the Angel, and, everybody else, Iceman, before he was gay, So, yeah, this was, like a big thing when Marvel did this, and they actually adapted it right this time. So it was kind of a great thing to see. And then to see, like, the complete, like, ingratitude of these critics was kind of pissing me off.
John, I have curiosity. Have you you said you've been reading the Dark Phoenix book recently, right?
Yeah, just today I was reading, like, the What If, and where it was, like, what if Dark Phoenix didn't die, and then I read, like, the original ending and stuff, so I was just curious, like, how the different versions of this story that they've told over the years. I actually haven't read, like, the original Dark Phoenix saga in a long time. I read it as a kid, but I remember it very well because it's such a distinct story, and I think they did it in the X-Men cartoon as well, in the 90s, an adaptation, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Is this movie considered a close adaptation to the comics?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like one-to-one or anything, but it is a lot closer than X3 was, and I think that was why they made it. It's like, they're like, we're going to adapt this film, and we're going to do it in a more faithful way. And they pretty much did. I mean, there isn't, like, everything in it, but, I mean, the Hellfire Club was in this, right? Wasn't it? To some extent. Maybe not, but...
I can't recall.
But... weren't there, like, there was, like, this fancy club or something where there were these, you know, like, people in the woods, kind of, and...
They were hanging, there was, like, chilling in the woods, shooting the shit.
Yeah. Was Emma Frost in this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, they did have to remove some stuff, because it's a long story arc.
I mean, and that's okay, like, honestly, I think the best... thing for what I think the MCU has also done really well is they don't directly adapt any single comic. Like, they take core elements and then keep elements that make sense and remove elements that don't.
Yeah. So in the original, there basically what happens is Jean gets seduced by the Hellfire Club. They're like this sort of aristocratic group of like Englishmen, and they kind of gradually make her more evil. And then she goes off to this like alien planet with the Shi'ar, which is this like intergalactic, group of aliens or whatever. And they want to put her on trial for blowing up this star and killing a bunch of people. And eventually they sentence her to death. And so that stuff is not in here, I guess. But I mean, they do get the core elements of her. Her character arc, where she descends into evil and that kind of stuff, the changes they made did not bother me in this case.
But yeah, like it's the film is definitely it's very serviceable. It's not in reinventing new ground or doing anything groundbreaking, but it's a very entertaining. It's a solid 100 minutes, and not every movie needs to be some massive event.
Yeah.
It was nice to not have it be 3 hours of just, like, CGI chaos, you know, and to actually have, like, a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end that does not... I mean, you don't really have to have seen the other X-Men movies. It helps, but, like, it is basically a self-contained movie.
Actually, I forgot to bring it up when Birds of Prey was mentioned, which shockingly has an 86% Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. I'm curious how that's possible, but I guess I'll have to see.
The trailers are really bad.
But
it has an 86% from both audience and... So those are...
The audience has the same rating as the critics?
Yeah. That's it doesn't really look rare. Like there's a ton of reviews yet, but from viewers...
I thought that like misogynists would be giving it like downvotes big time or something.
I think based off what I have seen of the trailers and the direction that they've gone with the Harley Quinn cartoon, I think it's kind of supposed to be like, oh, I don't need the Joker. The Joker held me back. I'm my own evil person.
Yes, I did a rant on the chat the other day about this, but yeah, I don't think that that's the way. Harley Quinn should be portrayed personally, so it's just like, I don't want to watch this.
I think I'm okay with the portrayal, but it has to be done well, which in the case of the Harley Quinn cartoon, they mostly do a good job with it. The best part of the cartoon is not necessarily that as much as Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy's friendship, where like Poison Ivy's trying to be like, hey, maybe don't go back to this person who treats you like shit, or hey, I'm like Poison Ivy tries to do all these things to help Harley, but Harley doesn't always do them, and that kind of affects their friendship. So it's kind of interesting to see that back and forth. Like the Harley Quinn cartoon is disturbingly well. Like the animation looks really good. Like it looks way better than Young Justice, than the most recent season of Young Justice. The voice cast is great. It has Tony Hale saying "cunt" a lot. And it has
who is he playing?
He plays actually, let me look it up. It's a Wonder Woman villain.
Is it that character that's accused of being an anti-Semitic stereotype called Cyborgman?
Not that deep. Actually, that character is in this cartoon. He's played by Jason Alexander.
People were... There's, like, a petition by, like, some, like, Jews that were offended by it. They're saying the character is anti-Semitic, even though he's played by a Jew. And
I don't recall him saying anything particularly below... Like, particularly offensive, but this cartoon is absurd, is very vulgar at times. Particularly the first episode is very shameless, particularly with just, like, endless amounts of blood.
The way I saw it in the commercial, I saw there's, like, a specific one devoted to this character on YouTube, and it seemed like he was just playing, like, the same kind of, like Jewish grandparents that you'd see in, like, the Seinfeld show that where he played George, you know? Like,
yeah. And that character...
makes self-deprecating jokes all the time.
Like that. Yeah, that character's barely in it. Like, he plays, like, Poison Ivy's landlord.
Okay.
So he's just kind of in the background. J.B. Smoove, who's Larry David's roommate in Curb Your Enthusiasm, plays a talking plant and is...
The black guy from...
Yeah. Curb? He crushes like every line in the show. It's great.
He was good in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, I thought I was so weirded out when he just like appeared out of nowhere for that film.
Witches. That's like his shtick in that movie. It's like
yeah.
And that Ron Punch seen Far From Home yet? So
if you really want to see something where he's totally out of place, watch the director's cut of the Daredevil movie.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, Matt Murdock is, like, defending him in court, and so, like, every 10 minutes or something, and these were all cut out of the theatrical version, Matt is in there, and this guy's doing, like, a comedy routine, and it, like, totally is different tone than the rest of the movie. Why was this even there?
The only thing I can say about the Daredevil movie is someone put it on a school trip once, and I remember the first 5 minutes, and I remember the last 2 minutes, because I fell asleep to that movie.
So yeah, I have little to no recollection of that.
It might have been maybe the first 10 minutes I saw. I remember like there was a subway fight, and I remember closing my eyes, and the next thing I knew, an hour and a half went by. And that's all I remember of Daredevil.
But yeah, I kind of forgot where I was going with the Harley Quinn stuff, but the Harley Quinn cartoon, I skipped the first episode and just started up the second episode, which actually I could see that one offending Jewish people because it's set at the Penguin's son's bar mitzvah. Yeah. Which is, they do some really messed up stuff there, but that's pretty funny.
What are they doing? Like, sucking the blood of a circumcision or something?
No, not that bad. I forget what the twist... Or what, like... Harley gets kidnapped by him near the end. And Harley gets him to... Like, basically, that he's, like, a pervert. And the kid, like, cries and runs away instead of killing Harley.
Okay.
It's hit and miss. Like, there definitely is, like, a few lines that I ought the episode. But overall, like, it's way better than it has any reason to be.
Yeah.
So if you're kind of looking for, like, an Adult Swim tier, like, fucked up comedy and, like, the DC characters, you'll see some interesting interpretations.
Do you think it's better than that Harley Quinn animated movie that came out a few years ago?
Oh, yeah, we reviewed that, didn't we?
That was okay. I did not totally dislike that. I don't like her necessarily, like... I don't necessarily like her hanging with Batman and being, like, an anti... I don't like that aspect to it. I like when she's kind of, like, doing... I like her doing her own thing and being self-motivated. I don't want her necessarily doing hero shit or like teaming up with Batman.
You didn't enjoy her farting in the Batmobile?
I did not like that, and I did not. I don't recall liking the musical number either.
Oh yeah,
that musical number was pretty rough. Yeah, but the less we talk about that, the better. I mean, at least that was in Timverse it style.
Weren't they like they were like driving off somewhere to like save the world, and she's like, wait. We gotta stop at this dive bar. I've got diarrhea. And then she starts doing, like, karaoke.
Yeah, that was not great. That definitely was the low point. I think the rest was all right, from what I recall.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, I've seen this so many times, like, you've got, like, Gotham Girls, you've got the Countdown event, where they have this kind of same plot. This is just what they've been doing with Harley Quinn since, like, Batman the Animated Series left, like, ended, because...
Yeah.
Well, no, I think they're trying to, like, rehabilitate the character after, like, having her get abused so much by the Joker, to kind of make up for, like, I guess, promoting abusive relationships or something, as if Harley Quinn and the Joker are supposed to be, like, role models or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it is an interesting dynamic to have, like, oh, I was being a victim, and now I'm my own person. Like, that is interesting
but to do it
over and over again, like, that's why I have no interest in this live-action movie, because I assume it's going to basically go over the same... a lot of the same stuff that's in the cartoon that I'm watching right now.
Okay,
I'm sure.
The thing is...
I read the summary on Wikipedia, and it's just like they've replaced Poison Ivy with Black Canary, and it's just going to be the same stuff again.
The thing is, with a crazy chick like Harley Quinn, the repeat abusers to go back to the same guy or the same type of guy because they never learn their lesson, they don't know what's better for them, because that's how much of a... I can't even really say that. I mean, like, yeah, they're victims... But it's like they don't want the help to get out of where they are. They're not even trying. They just like want someone to do the work for them to take the easy way, and they never learn.
That's kind of, and that's why I like the cartoon, is it kind of it does address that.
Yeah,
because like she goes back to the Joker like more than once already, and they show like how that affects her relationship with Poison Ivy, and how that affects her friendship with other people. And I don't trust them to do that in this, or in the live-action film.
My interpretation is, and it is conspiratorial or whatever, but that this is kind of like trying to undermine like Harley Quinn as like a heterosexual, and like Poison Ivy is implied to be like her true lesbian lover, and like she needs to like get over these like toxic masculinity people that are ruining her life or whatever. I mean, I just get the undertone, and I'm sure that a lot of people ship these characters of Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
Well, they've been shipping them for years, so...
Yeah. I guess we can move on from Harley Quinn. What other superhero movies are coming up? There's, like, Black Widow. Do you guys think that's going to be any good?
I'm going to go see it, so...
I had zero interest in it until I saw the trailers, and I was like, it has the guy from Stranger Things.
Yeah, I love
actually
that guy.
Playing, actually, like, I like he doesn't seem like he's filling it in. I kind of like the dynamic with, like, her, who I assume is her is Black Widow's sister. Like, I don't like the concept of them, like, doing this movie after the character died. I think that's kind of a weird choice. But I guess, like, as, like, a female-driven spy film, but, like, with a different bend because they're Russian and it's got some Marvel touches to it, I'm more interested in it than I thought I was going to be. So I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but it's definitely something I plan on seeing eventually.
I mean, I'm looking forward to the new Bond movie, No Time to Die, so we're going to have to review that.
I hate to admit it, but I actually, the newer trailers for Sonic look actually unironically decent. Like, for that sort of film, like, I obviously don't expect fine art, but I think it might not be absolutely atrocious.
I'm impressed by how quickly they managed to make these changes. I mean, it feels like just yesterday they had that first trailer out that everybody hated, and then they completely redesigned the character, and now it's out in theaters. I mean, like, time flies, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been, like, a year since that original trailer aired.
I think it's just, like, they, like, in addition to throwing out the animation, they also threw out the original marketing team. So instead of using that horrendous cover of Gangster's Paradise, like... the trailers are just cut so much better. Like, they could be showing us all the best scenes in the movie. There still was some quips from Sonic that I rolled at during the trailers, but, like, overall, it does look a lot better than the initial trailer for the film. So I'm like, I actually do kind of want, I probably will actually see that in theaters and not to intentionally just exclusively shit on it. Like, I'm actually think it could be something mildly enjoyable.
So when we review the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, is our intro for the podcast going to be Gangster's Paradise?
You can do Amish Paradise or something.
That would work too. Yeah. No, I'm doing that for sure. I got no plans.
It was 9 months ago that the first trailer came out.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a year. I mean, I got no plans for next week. So my brother and I are both like, hey, we got no women, so let's go see Sonic the Hedgehog. And that's the best way. I mean, like, I've always spent my Valentine's days, like, in the past, like, watching, like, Death Wish movies by Charles Bronson. And those have been pretty
That's a good
Oh, no, choice. Yeah. I was like, what better way to spend Valentine's Day than watching, like, a Charles Bronson
action? Yeah, manly as fuck.
Oh, yeah. That's some good times. I still got the fifth one to see. And then I've seen every single Charles Bronson Death Wish movie.
Yeah, I've already been to the movie theaters 3 times this year, which I think was the total amount of times I went to the movies last year in total.
Really?
Yeah. I only went and saw Star Wars in theaters. That was the last time I went to the theaters.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I saw Knives Out and The Lighthouse with some friends. The Lighthouse was very weird. It's black and white. It's shot in like a very very like old school like aspect ratio, and it had Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson playing lighthouse keepers, and that was it.
Hmm.
It was very trippy. None of my friends could like blatantly say that they liked it, myself included. There are aspects I liked. There are things that I did not like.
Wait, isn't that nominated for an Oscar?
It was made as Oscar bait. I think it does have, it's up for one or two things, but not like the major.
Yeah, I will say this, like, I got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood off that website, and that movie is fantastic, and because I watched it a few weeks ago.
Oh, that was, I think that was, like, before I saw, I saw that movie, and then Konosuba, the theatrical Konosuba film, and I saw Star Wars in theaters.
Yeah, because
that was like really all I saw during like the second half of the year.
Because I think I heard like Bill Burr do a review, like a quick review of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's like, dude, that movie's awesome. It didn't even feel like a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of it too. Like, whenever I go to the theaters, particularly for the Marvel movies, I'm always like, this is at least 10 to 20 minutes too long. Did not feel like that at all with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I enjoyed the ending where they had like the promotional ad with like it's Leo like doing like the like red apple cigarette ad. And
yeah, that was very choice.
He's like, you made this piece of shit. Like, fuck this. I'm not even one. Like, I'm not a spokesman for this company anymore. And he like punches his own sign. But then as that was playing, that you've got like the audio of like radio programs for like the '60s Batman theme. And, like, Adam West, like, enter the secret code now. And then you got, like, Burt Ward going, like, yeah, help Batman and the gang out or something. And I was like, that was the ending song to that. And I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought.
Yeah. Like, I think about that. I think about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like, a whole lot more, like, than any other movie I've thought about or I've seen in this past year, so.
Yeah, like, that's, like, one of the few instances where I feel like this was something that was worth seeing in theaters.
Yeah. Because
that's another thing, too, is, like, I really don't, like, I say, like, I am like, oh, I like the Oscar stuff. I hate all this commoner drivel and, like, special effects crap. But then the only time I go to the theaters are for the Marvel movie. But, like, or generally, but like,
I mean, I'll give it this, that like the things about a lot that stuck out to me in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was like, you know, DiCaprio's living next to the director of Rosemary's Baby. And so then it's also taking place during the time of like when Sharon Tate got murdered by the Manson family, but it's like a different spin on that. But it's interesting how, like, that night in the beginning, like, you know, he's Roman Polanski is taking Sharon Tate out to the Playboy Mansion, and you've got, like, the head, like, actors in Hollywood, including the Steve McQueen. And Steve McQueen is played by the guy who was one of the main actors in Band of Brothers. And I thought they casted him very well for that role, because I was like, wait, that's got to be his son or something, right? And it's not. But his face looks very, very close to Steve McQueen. And he's just over there, like, chilling with his girlfriend at the Playboy Mansion. He's like, yeah, Roman Polanski's a, you know, piece of crap or whatever. And he's going to, like, F this whole relationship up because that's the type of guy, whatever. And, like, the thing is, it takes place during that era of, like, stuff that I know about. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't, like, a reference to, like, the Brady Bunch or something. Because, I grew up watching those kind of shows when it was on syndication. So that movie is up my alley.
Was Tarantino friends with Roman Polanski before he fled the country, or?
I don't know. I assume not, but who knows?
He was friends with Harvey Weinstein, so.
Yeah.
It seems like he's kind of, like, in there with these kind of scummy, like, Hollywood types that,
I think, like, Polanski was probably, like, known to be an asshole before Tarantino really got start. Publicly known, while Weinstein was kind of, like, that was just kept, like, on the DL until recently.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, Tarantino got a lot of heat after the Weinstein thing came out, because there's this kind of conception of, like, oh, these guys all must have known, had some conspiracy of silence. Like, but who knows if that's true or not. But
yeah, actually, speaking of Weinstein, or directors supported, who got their career started by Weinstein, my friends and I watched Jay and Silent Bob Rebooted. And so, obviously, we went into it not having very high expectations. Like, I probably haven't enjoyed a Kevin Smith film since 2008, I think. And, like, presumably, like, it's not going to be... I'm not expecting high art from Kevin Smith, but I'm also... I do have some sort of bar to expect, and it was really fucking bad. Like, even trying to, like, shutting my brain off, even, like, the reference humor and some of the, like, Kevin Smith-isms with it were just not up to par.
I mean, the last Kevin Smith movie I probably saw was Fanboys. And that one was actually really good, even though it was a Blockbuster exclusive at the time.
Well, he didn't direct it. He did, like, a cameo in it.
Oh, that's right.
Fanboys, I did like Fanboys.
Yeah,
I assume
that
doesn't hold
movie.
Up, but I really did enjoy that.
I think it still holds up, because I know I saw it, like, 2010, I think. At my friend's place. And then we eventually found it. And then, like,
road trip movies, I think, are generally fun. Like, yeah. I feel like those have shelf lives.
Yes.
Daph, did you see the Crisis Aftermath specials that Kevin Smith hosted?
No, I don't really need to hear Kevin Smith sucking dick, promoting stuff. He suckered me in with Batman versus Superman.
He's just so annoying. The way he promotes stuff is just like this blatantly, like, fake, like, carnival barker thing where he's just, like, shouting out shit that, like, he's told to say. And it's just like, are you really this excited about this crossover? I don't know if I believe you.
Yeah, I can't imagine he is. I do like his, I go back and forth on whether I like his philosophy of he doesn't really shit on anything. Like, if he doesn't like something, he just doesn't talk about it. And then B only talks about stuff he likes. And, like, I kind of respect it, but that train of thought, but also, like, you oversell the shit out of things, too.
That's in turn. That's what you do if you want to get ahead in that kind of show business. I mean, I guess that people want you to promote their products. They don't want you to just, like, go give.
Yeah, I mean, like, you might work with someone who is involved with that movie, or, like, your friend is in it. Like, I think he wanted to be nice to Ben Affleck, so Ben Affleck would talk to him and appear in this movie, or appear in a movie, which he was one of the few highlights of Jay and Silent Bob Rebooted.
Well, I mean, Affleck got to start with Mallrats.
Yeah. Matt Damon also has, like, a cameo in it. It's just really weird. Because, like, it's, like, clear about, like, it seems like it was almost like a Make-A-Wish thing where Kevin Smith was like, please, Matt Damon, just shoot. I'm going to give you a camera. Just talk into it for 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
As, like, my last will and testament.
What was it? I saw Dogma not too long ago. I do like that movie.
I assume that one probably has a chance of holding up better than most of his filmography.
I would say
I assume
so, yeah.
Clerks, I assume, holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
Mallrats might. I think Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back might work just because it's very cartoony to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can't imagine anything else is, like, beyond passable and probably is just
very dated and probably awful. I feel like I've seen Chasing Amy, but I can't remember anything about that movie.
It's just basically like a 2-hour build-up to like a freeway proposition. And that movie, especially in like PC 2020, probably does not work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, didn't it have, like, lesbians on it or something? It was supposed to be, like...
Yeah, but I think it, like, it was progressive for the time, but I'm sure it's, like, some of the remarks or things that get said probably are not, or conclusions from the film are probably not proper now.
Well, does the lesbian, like, end up sleeping with a guy or something? What happens then if it's so bad now?
I think that does happen. It's also been a while since I've seen Chasing Amy. So yeah, I don't entirely remember it.
I saw it once, like, 15 years ago, and it's like, I don't want to see that again.
I just remember the Tracer has an action which I want to get for my collection.
Yeah.
Because remember that iconic character, the guy who accused Jason Lee of tracing?
No, I don't remember.
Or he says he calls inking tracing.
Oh. In Chasing Amy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's an action figure of that person.
Wow.
Because, of course, Kevin Smith did that.
Does he have some, like, comic book store or something where he sells his crap? Is that what the deal is?
Oh, you're referring to the Secret Stash and the Comic Book Men TV show?
Yeah, I have not seen that show, but I know it's been...
There were seven seasons. There are 7 seasons, and they cameo in... Because, of course, they do.
Well, no, you cut out, so I didn't catch anything you just said.
They have 7 seasons, and they cameo in the movie.
The new Silent Bob movie? They're in that?
Yeah.
Do you think the Clerks cartoon still holds up? Because I remember...
That's one of... That and Clone High and Megas XLR... Now, at least once a year... And those are, like, the only things I rewatch. Oh. And I still, like, it's obviously not well animated and looks crude now, but I think it works. It still cracks me up a lot, just because of how absurd it gets at times.
I bought the DVD.
Oh, my God, Bear is driving.
Yeah.
How can that be?
I bought the DVD set really cheap at an old bookstore in Raleigh years ago. But then, like, I bought that after it aired on Adult Swim at night. So then I remember recording it off Adult Swim. I think I still got those recordings. And, anyways, yeah. So that's how I saw the show that way. Then I saw the DVD thing for like $5 at an Edward McKay that no longer exists. And so I was like, okay, I'll add it to my collection. So, like, I have the animated series. I pretty much have anything Clerks related. So, like, if Clerks 3 comes out, is it going to be like dudes in their 50s still trying to figure out how life works?
I assume that they were supposed to do, like, Clerks, like, that's Kevin Smith dealing with his 40s and being a parent. But I think that kind of got, that aspect kind of got morphed into Jay and Silent Bob Rebooted.
Yeah.
Didn't they already do that?
This should not be surprising, but Kevin Smith's daughter is not a very good actress. Very, very not
Jersey
good.
Girl?
Or what?
Didn't they do that already in Jersey Girl, some movie about, like, Kevin Smith's daughter or something?
I don't know if... Well, I don't know. Well, I don't remember what Jersey Girl was about.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, she's in that. She was in Yoga Hoser, Depp's daughter, who goes to school with her. I heard that one's abysmally bad.
You haven't seen Yoga Hosers yet?
No, I kind of want to watch it, and like, even though I know it's going to be atrocious,
yeah,
but it's not high up my list.
Yeah, what about Tusk? Have you seen that one?
No, some of my friends have said the horror ones are okay. Said they're, I just don't care.
Or Red State? Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Or
I haven't seen. I think this is the first film of his I've seen since Zack and Miri. Because like I didn't watch the
whatever.
He did an animated Jay and Silent Bob cartoon movie.
Oh, I've seen that. That's
character,
terrible.
The character designs were different, and yeah, I heard it was abysmal.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah, I think just like post podcast era Kevin Smith, I don't care about is what I've come to the conclusion of. I wonder if he finished the Batman comic.
No, he didn't.
Ah, fucker.
Yeah, there's like a Daredevil comic that he started like right after 9/11. He like never finished it, and he's like, someday I'm gonna get to it, guys. I got the whole second issue drawn and written. And it's like, no,
okay, I just typed Kevin Smith into Wikipedia. The second like thing I can select is Kevin Smith's unrealized projects.
That's like all of them.
That's pretty good.
He needs to just tell $10, okay, you can make Clerks 3 The Lost World, and I'll just take all the money.
He did a Hit Girl comic? Huh. Well, it looks like it might just be a single.
Hey, do we want to wrap this up? Because I kind of need to get to bed soon, so.
Okay. Yeah, we can wrap it up.
Alright, I know we got some Peter Fay tweets in the chat, so Daff, that is all you, man.
Hey, I was just posting some highlights. I don't know if any of them are reading on the podcast. Let's see. I'll highlight this one from January 17th, which is, seriously, what's a guy got to do to get laid properly in this city? Which, beyond that statement being comical, since he lives in one of the most populated cities in the world...
With
he posted
tons of prostitutes.
He posted, yeah, you could do that. But he posted this at 4:03 p.m. So, like, he's thinking about getting his dick wet at, like, when people are normally working, which obviously he's not working.
He's thinking about that at all hours of the day.
Yeah, it is true. It's like you got the hustle. Like, what? Good for you, I guess. But it is still just. Very interesting.
Oh, the guy tweets at porn stars like every day.
Yeah. Speaking of which, he tweeted at someone named Buckshot Bill. Dearest madame, may I tap that? I'm trying to think of the PC term to describe this. She's a fic with two C's.
Okay.
The picture quality is not very good. This person has an OnlyFans too. I would not, if that's the quality of their content, I would not be paying for their OnlyFans. Do you guys know what OnlyFans is?
I think you've heard it mentioned before.
Is it something where like people pay ethots to get like nudes or something?
Yeah, it's basically Patreon, but exclusively for ethots.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Yeah.
Do you think Peter is on there, like, paying, like, his social security disability insurance to, like, these ethos?
Oh, yeah. OnlyFans, I think, is newer. Like, I only just heard about it recently. So I'd give it, like, 3 more years till he actually... Actually, 2 years till he knows what OnlyFans is, and then 3 years where he starts actually paying for OnlyFans. But he doesn't. He only pays for one of them, and then just tweets at them asking for discounts because he's jobless.
My shout outs is going to be RIP to Kirk Douglas. That dude lived 103 years old. That is amazing. Because I wonder when he was going to die eventually, and he did.
Yeah, convenient timing right before the Oscars, too.
Yeah, so they're going to do an in memoriam. We're like, oh, we're going to miss Kirk Douglas so much. Boo! It's like, you guys didn't even act like he was there for the past 20 years.
Yeah, my first... I don't know why. My first thought was, after Kirk Douglas died, I couldn't decide if if his son told him when he got... did they get, like, an STD or something? or what
wait,
was
wait,
it?
Did
like,
Kirk get an STD or did Michael
no,
Douglas?
No, Michael Douglas did.
I don't know.
Wasn't there like something where like
I have not heard like any of this stuff. Oh yeah. Well, we should probably give a shout out to Kobe Bryant too for I don't know dying or RIP Kobe Bryant. I don't. My first thought, and I know I sound morbid saying this, but this is just the nerd in me, was like, oh crap, I wonder how high those Kobe Bryant and NBA courtside N64 games are going to go up in price. Like, it dawned on me. I was like, oh yeah, he made the N64 game. Shoot, now everybody wants it because they act like they know, like, they all love Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was kind of crazy. Like, apparently people were mad that the Gatorade color was at the Super Bowl wasn't purple because there's a rumor it's going to be purple as a tribute to Kobe Bryant. It's like,
but Kobe Bryant plays basketball. That's a football game.
He obviously was a very iconic athlete. Did a lot. Like, he had an Oscar. He was involved with a lot of business ventures. Was not a shit father. And like, it's so like, I don't know. It's like, does he need, is it a that big a deal that the Gatorade color wasn't the Lakers color? You know?
I wouldn't know.
But yeah, but R.I.P. R.I.P.
Yeah.
John, do you have any shout-outs?
No.
I don't think I said any.
Our friend Jacob.
Or who?
Jacob.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Well, is the podcast over?
Yeah, I think it is over, so.
Alright.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go ahead and shut it down.
Right. I don't think I said enough offensive things on the.
Really?
I don't know. I wasn't that mean to Zionic.
Don't you have a sign off line that you use?
I'm not at liberty to use that phrase at this point.
Oh. Okay.
I'm trying to be a good boy slightly. Right. And not say incredibly awful things. I'll say mostly awful things. But I'm This could potentially get tied back to me, so I'm going to try and be a good boy. I'll let someone else use the catchphrase.
I think we'll have to retire that catchphrase.
Yeah, maybe we can... Oh, yeah. Does Claude want to say it?
I don't think so.
Oh, shoot. Well, is there anything else you want to put on record before I end the call, because I got to get to bed?
Yeah, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, no, that's really it. Okay. The Peter thing I can read another time. It wasn't that interesting.
Well, we haven't had you on in like over a year, I think.
Yeah, well, I started my job a year and a half ago at this.
That's right.
A year and a half ago. So, yeah.
Difficult.
And yeah, and then like I'm usually doing shit on Saturday, and then usually I'm doing shit on Sunday.
Yeah, same here.
Or something
now.
Like that. So yeah,
it's during. The
Are
week.
We still on for McAfee?
Yeah. Let me know when. Or is that? Is there a chance that's going to happen before March?
I have no idea.
Fair.
The thing is, like, I was supposed to email his wife about getting that set up, and then, like, I had to delay it because I was working, my MLK day. Yeah, and then they're like, oh, yeah, we're out of the country. And then he tweets that he has, like, bodyguards around him to go to London or some crap. I'm like, we're not going to talk to this guy anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, he seems like he doesn't have that much going on.
He sets up, like, a recording studio. He's like, oh, I can't wait to get all these podcasters on. And then he's, like, out of the country for, like, 6 months or something. Like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah. It's gonna be a little bit more difficult for me after this month to be able to get my schedule adjusted during the week. But I will try my best to get readjusted for McAfee, because that is just... fucking bonkers. Yeah, you can swing that.
I think the longest we can talk to him is like an hour, so we gotta have some questions lined up.
I've been brainstorming a little bit. I've lightly solicited some feedback.
I'm trying to figure out, like, with me, my schedule is so, like, different, and I don't have anything set because anything can happen at a night. I just have this feeling that, like, if I schedule something, there's a 90% chance that something's going to come up last minute to hinder me from that. So that's why I hate scheduling stuff. Like, I'm kind of in a situation where I have, like, really no total control of my free time. And so, like, spur-of-the-moment recordings like these work because, like, we can all come together. So, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how me and John have done stuff. But, like, you know, I try to commit to something, and it's like, oh, no, you got to hang out with your friends and social. It's like, no, not now. Or, like, yeah, I just want to be, like, in case something happens, I'm there for somebody instead of being interrupted, and that's always going to happen to me. And that's what pisses me off.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the stars will align, and you'll be, McAfee is, well, I mean, you feel like McAfee wouldn't be able to hold a schedule either, because he's fucking insane.
Yes, exactly, like, the thing was, like, as soon as that fell through on MLK Day, and John's just like, oh yeah, he's in another country, I'm like, when are we gonna, like, because I told them, I was like, okay, well, I'll let you know when we're free. Because I wasn't sure, and then I see that on Twitter, and I'm like, well, I'm not too sure of jumping into a McAfee interview when I'm not even sure if the guy's going to commit to showing up on time. So
yeah, the play, though, is if something comes up, you just do the thing, and then you come back, and then good to go, and check in with him, and you'll be like, oh, I need another hour, and then you'll be fine. Because he probably won't be running on time either.
That's true.
But yeah, just keep me posted. I'll try my best to get my schedule adjusted so I can be around for it.
I'm trying to schedule out, like, at least a week or 2 weeks in advance, and then we know we're ready, and, like, nothing is going to stop me from not talking to this guy, so...
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, he won't talk to people, like, at night, because they're too busy. So, like, it's during the day, but I work during the day, so that hinders me.
Yeah.
I would have to get a day off. My next day off is not going to be till Memorial Day weekend, to be honest. I don't know, or at least, like, Friday afternoons work.
Because
I get a half day on Fridays, so, like, that would work, and it's just a matter of picking the right Friday out and just staying committed to that, so.
Right on.
Alright, well, I gotta go ahead, I'm gonna end this call. we never did introductions on this podcast. This is Anime of Yesteryear, I'm Dustin, I got Daft and John on, and...
You're not gonna include this, are you?
Oh, Daft wanted me to.
What? No, I don't want you to include any of the cloud shit.
Okay, I won't.
No.
You said yes to it.
Oh, fuck no. No, we don't need introductions. No one gives a shit about me. It's fine.
Yeah, on an episode like this, it's so freewheeling that the introductions don't matter.
Exactly.
That's true. It's in show notes, and there's about 100, this will be the episode like 148 or 149, I don't know.
I'm sure we use each other's names in there. People will figure it out who we are.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, shut this down,
alright, that guy's a good chat.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they grow, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. The situation they got me facing, I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my 10 in my hand and a gleam in my